Jesus. I'm going to tell you about what my Jesus is doing. If you can, I'd like for everybody to stand up for just a minute. One thing that I've learned over the years is sometimes, and my wife tells me all the time, she says, you need to breathe. So what I want us to do is we're going to shake off all the cares of the world. Everything that's happened today, we're going to shake off. When I used to preach youth revivals, we're going to shake off those worldly bands and lift up these holy hands. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a little praise exercise. And we're going to just sit here for a minute, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit minister to us. And only the way that He knows how to minister, and that's through love and through grace. And just close your eyes for a minute. And just lift up those holy hands and shake off anything that's happened today. We all have things that happen during the day. And Father, we just come now and we just lift up this service, the rest of it, Lord. Everything that's happened, Father, we just want to tell everybody about our Jesus. And we just want to love each other, Father. We want to just come to a point now where we can just relax in your arms and just where we can just breathe and feel your love and feel your grace and feel your kindness. And we just ask, Father, that you just take the next few minutes that we have and you let this word just penetrate into us, Father. And I'm asking this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the sound booth, I gave y'all a lot of scripture. I don't know how much I'm going to use. It's like I told you. I said, well, here's a list. I just don't know where we're going to go. And, you know, that's the kind I like, is where we are orchestrated and moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to try to keep an outline, but guess what? I've been known to chase rabbits before. And if I get too far going with the rabbits, somebody stop me. But I want to start in Isaiah chapter 61. This is a chapter in the Bible that has really meant a lot to me over the years. And I think it's as important today as it ever has been. And I know here about 2 months ago, as either Pastor Kelly or Brother Angelo alluded back to this, but I want to go just a little bit deeper in it. I like getting deep. As some of y'all that come at 9:30 on Sunday morning, you know I like to get deep. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God, this is all King James, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. See, God has given us the ability to proclaim liberty to people, to take off these people that are shackled they're just bound with sin and bound with everything that the world has to offer. We have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to help set these people free. It's just like, maybe I'm the only one that's ever been to jail here, but I've been to jail a few times, and I always like it when they open that door and says, you're free to go. I like that better than anything, you know. I always hated it when they shut the door on me, because I never knew when I was going to get out. And usually I was on the phone, Mama, it's your baby boy again. Guess where I'm at? She says, I know where you're at. They've already called me. But, you know, we have the ability to proclaim this liberty to people that are captive and captive of their sin, and we have the ability to open those doors for them. And the way we open the doors is by telling them about our Savior Jesus and about His love and His graces. It says in verse 2 that we are to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. You know, I'm probably the only one that's been guilty of this. Sometimes I've looked at people and said, well, they're just deserving what they get. They just deserve that. Well, I deserve to go to hell, to put it bluntly. That's where I deserve to go. And he saw fit to save me and to allow me to share His word for nearly over almost 50 years now. You know? And I'm just excited about that. But I want you to listen to what it says in verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I was listening on the radio here about 2 months ago, and I shared this with my wife when I got home. And he said he gave us, what, beauty for ashes. And one of the things that I saw there, and the first time I've ever saw it, why are we holding on to those ashes? He's given us beauty for ashes, and yet we try to hold on to the old things, to some things that aren't even, it's not even anything anymore. What happens with ashes when a good wind comes? They're gone. So a lot of the things that we think that we need to be holding on to, guess what? They actually mean nothing. Why? Because he's gave us the beauty of salvation. The beauty of the Holy Spirit. The beauty of walking with God. He's given us all of that, and yet we want to hold on to some things that really don't mean anything. He gave us the oil of joy for mourning. Sometimes I'm so busy mourning about things in my life that I forget about the joy of my salvation. You know, and the Lord reminded me of this when I saw this. He said, why are you holding on to some of this stuff when you have the whole joy of God? You have the whole experience of the Holy Spirit. The whole experience of salvation. Why am I mourning all those other things? You know, one of the things that dealing with addicts like I do, one of the hardest things for them is to let go of certain things. And I'm always telling them, oh, you just need to let go of that. You just need to turn from that. You know, you just need to, you know, new friends, new places, people, places, and things. And the Lord convicted me of this. Why are you still mourning over things that you shouldn't be concerned about? Why? How about the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Oh, God, things are just rough. It's just tough out here in the world. You know, diesel's $4.29 a gallon up here on the hill today. I'm thinking, what's next? And the Lord said to me, he says, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread in the street. He said, you got money in the bank? I said, yes, Lord, I got money in the bank. Are you able to bless somebody else? Yes, I am. Am I able to give above and beyond? Yes, I am. I was in Walmart, I guess it was Friday. Maybe it was Thursday. I don't remember. I'm getting old, so sometimes I don't remember the right day. But I was in Walmart, and there was a young man in front of me, and his card wouldn't work. And I stood there for a minute. And the Holy Spirit said, you got a little nudge? So I didn't even ask him how much it was. I just said, here, I've got to take my card. Why? Because I knew there was more than enough in it. And I knew that my wife would be in total agreement with that. I told her when I got home, she said, you did go ahead and pay for his stuff. And I said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. See, if you learn to yield to God, you'll never run out. You know, one of the problems that we have as Christians is we don't pour ourselves out enough. So if we don't pour ourselves out, God doesn't see any reason why should I fill you up. See, we get all happy. Oh, God's doing this. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you just go home and you consume it on yourself instead of saying, I'm going to give some of it to you. I'm going to give some of it to you. I'm going to give some of it to you. And where that overflow comes in, what happens when you empty something out for God? He has to fill it back up. See, that's a principle in the Word of God. If we will empty ourselves, God will fill us back up. Why? Well, we can go out and empty ourselves again. Why do you see some people, they're so blessed financially? I guarantee you, if you see somebody in church that's blessed financially, it's because they are continually looking for ways to give it away. That we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that who might be glorified? Him. See, we think that sometimes that things happen for our own little glory, but it's not for us, it's for Him. I was talking to some of the people, I guess it was Tuesday night at Cub Scouts, and we had a lot of parents in there, and I have a new Cub Master that I was had to go there and put in as Cub Master, I told them, I said, if any of these people are doing anything other than for these kids, they don't need to be here. Don't need to be here. If we are doing anything other than for the kingdom of God, guess what? We don't need to be here. We need to be suited up, show up, where we can glorify God. Then there's a promise here, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, a desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat of the riches of the Gentiles. See, that's what Sam was alluding to earlier. The wealth of the world is stored up for the children of God. We're going to eat that if we just will, but we've got to be obedient to what God says. And their glory shall you boast, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, and everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Who's He made the everlasting covenant with? Us. Us. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. First question tonight, do you have the garment of salvation? Do you know? You know, one of the biggest things I used to use in youth revivals is this. In 1 John, it says, I write these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. I asked those kids, I said, do you know? Well, I walked the aisle when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. Do you know? Do you know you have eternal life? I want to tell you what, He has clothed us with His salvation. The ones of us who are truly saved and walking after God, He has clothed us with His salvation. Now, I found out something. Now, y'all know where my roots are. I come up a fundamental Baptist. That's sort of, you know, that's bad, I guess. I learned about salvation through that. I learned how to be a witness and a soul winner through that. And then things went along in my life, and guess what? I found out that there was more to it than that. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness. You know, when God looks at us, the ones of us that are his children, he doesn't see all my stain. He doesn't see all my past. He sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus. He sees that because I've been clothed in that righteousness. It says, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorn herself with her jewels, for the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth from all the nations. Listen, when we're walking with God, we have a promise that some things are going to spring forth from us. We don't even know how it's going to happen. It just happens. Man, I've been in places where I'm talking to people and I'm thinking, you know, how's this going to work? And all of a sudden, here comes the word. And see, my memory's not good. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. I know it was good. I just don't remember what it was. Well, that's a lie. I do know what it was. It was cowboy biscuits. You ever have cowboy biscuits? It's biscuits made with yeast. It's really good. Takes time to make them. But what's springing forth from your life? You know, one of the things that I'm always thankful to Brother Angelo for, he taught me a lot about giving. See, I thought I knew a lot, but then when him and I met each other in the early 80s, I started learning a lot about giving that I didn't know, or that I knew, but I didn't adhere to. So we can always be thankful to somebody. I'm going to talk more now about modern times. I'm going to go to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. And some of you are going to get the idea of where I'm going here in just a minute. I intentionally wanted some of this to be rather short tonight because I feel like the Lord wants to do some business with some of us. I feel like there's some of us that need to let God do some business with us. In John 7:30, chapter 7, verse 37, 39, it says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he says, he that believeth on me, and the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen. I got to reading this day and started bawling. God so come over me that he said, you know what I want to do with you, I want to let rivers of living water flow out of you, but see, you've got to be willing to let it happen. This he spake, he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. At this time, the Holy Spirit wasn't available, folks. It just wasn't available. Why? Jesus hadn't been glorified. He hadn't gone to be with the Father. Amen. See, everything has to happen in order. Everything has to be done this way, and this way, stacked up just right. Go to another scripture that y'all heard here about 3 or 4 months ago. John chapter 14. I think I'll start in verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. Who does the work? The Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, when we start praying and asking for things, he does them. Why? So that God can be glorified, not that Larry Baker can be glorified or anybody else can be glorified. It's so that God can be glorified. Why? So that people can see that there is a true and loving and holy God that's reaching down and cares about us. Has a desire to do things through us, not that we can be glorified, but that the Son, Jesus Christ, can be glorified. Our life should be a walking, talking testimony of Jesus Christ. I had a real honor given to me a few months ago. And I don't talk about it much, but I'm going to tell you, I am the number one drug and alcohol counselor in the state of Arkansas. I actually have a little plaque to put on my wall that says that. Plus, I got a 5% pay raise on it. That means my tithe went up. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he says something. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, sometimes we're always saying, God, give me, I want. And he says, are you keeping my commandments? Are you loving people? You know, we have the food ministry here. There's no doubt in my mind that we love people. But are we truly doing everything that we do to glorify God? I hate to say this, but there's times I've done stuff in my life that looked good, but it wasn't to glorify God. That's sin. When God shows us something like that, what we need to do is just repent of it and go on about our way. Then he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father and he shall give you, not that he might, so he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. When I feel like I'm all alone, guess what? The Holy Spirit's right there with me. When I do something that's wrong, guess what? The Holy Spirit's right there with me. He sees. See, we think that men don't see what goes on. I want to tell you what, God sees everything. Boy, there's times I've said, man, I'm glad that's out of the blood. I'm glad I can say I'm sorry. And he says, that's okay, son. Let's try it again. Everybody asks me why I use my computer. It's because I can make the words bigger. I'm serious. If you come here on Sunday morning, 9:30, you know that's why I do, because I tell everybody that. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seemeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall, what? Be in you. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing for it to come and make its habitation, its dwelling within you. And you sort of figure where I'm going tonight. See, we got a few minutes left. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. Listen, before I received Jesus, I was a dead man walking. And now because Jesus lives and abides in me, guess what? I am alive. Why? Because of the Word of God that's within me, the power of God that's within me, the Holy Spirit that's within me, I am alive. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our habitation. This is where we're going to live. You ever been really afraid of something? I mean really afraid. Some of you have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it real briefly. I was in the military, we were doing an operation in Central America. I was in a country called Belize. And we had a weekend off. So a bunch of us decided we were going to go scuba diving. Never been scuba diving. I knew how to snorkel, but I've never been scuba diving. So we hired a boat to take us out to the reef, to the Keys. There was a place out there called Mosquito Key. And there was real mosquitoes there. And we took off that night. And we headed out an early evening. It was supposed to be a one-hour push out to where we were going. 2 hours later, we weren't there. 2.5 hours, Frank, we weren't there. It was getting dark. And we saw a light over there. We went over there to where the light was, and they met us at the end of the dock with shotguns. I said, y'all can't stay here. And they said, you need to go that way. So we went that way. And so we got to what they call a mangrove island out on the reef, and they pitched anchor off, and the captain of the boat said, we got about a gallon of fuel left. So I took my Ranger blanket out, and I rolled up in that blanket and laid down the front of the boat and went to sleep. That's what my Savior did. He just laid down and went to sleep. Next morning they asked me, said, how could you lay down and go to sleep? Jesus did. If he did, I can. Why? He said, greater things than these you will do because I go to be with the Father. And I said, you know what? I could just lay down and go to sleep. And guess what I was sleeping on top of? About 25 cases of alcohol. Made a pretty good pallet. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Wow. Maybe those times when I couldn't remember Scripture, then all of a sudden, bam, it's there. Maybe that's this Scripture coming to truth. Maybe. Just maybe. See, We're either going to walk with God or we're not going to walk with God, people. We're either going to yield ourselves to the power of God or we're just going to bow our neck. I've bowed my neck before. It's not fun when God straightens it out. Probably the only once ever God told me to do something, I said, I ain't doing that. Ain't going to do that. I remember when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptist boy. Been taught all my life that was of the devil. My little old hard shell Baptist grandma would talk about the brush arbors and the fire coming down on the brush arbors when they'd have them back in the mining and wood camps back in the Depression. I didn't understand that. It's all I'd been taught. Then I'd go to these places and they'd yank me up and drag me down to the altar. Want to pray for me, nothing happened. Finally got to a point where I was at one place and I told my deacon, Brother James, I said, if they grab me, I'm fixing to smack them. We're going to have a fight right here in the middle of this place. Well, they didn't grab me that night, but a few weeks later, him and I and some more men were praying for revival. And I will remember this till the day I die. Brother James went over and he put his hand on my head. He said, God, please give this dumb preacher boy what he's asking for where he'll shut up. And bam, here it come. Hadn't been right since. I got my picture in the paper because they disfellowshipped me from the Baptist Association. I know lots of my Baptist friends now that are full of the Holy Spirit and still in the Baptist church. Things are changing. Are we changing? See, one of the things in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. You know that oil of joy, Sister Mary, that we was talking about in Isaiah? Sometimes we have to change oil. Sometimes we have to add something to it. Why? Because guess what? We get dry. We get dry. We get dry. And we just need a drink. Well, I need some of them joints lubed up, Father. I was telling the Holy Spirit today, telling God, I said, God, I need a little taste. I just need a little taste of you, Father. So I got down on the side of my bed, got down on my knees. See, lots of times I pray standing up. Lots of times I just pray laying in the bed. You know, I just pray in my recliner. But he said, I want you to get on. What is that a sign of? That's a sign of yielding to royalty. That's a sign of surrender. More than anything in this world, I want to please my God. And I know that in my own power, sister, I can't do it. I have to continually be yielding myself to Him. I have to continually be seeking that next drink of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit that, man, I don't want people to hear me like this. Because it was different, folks. Now, the Baptist Association, they've been real proud of me. But they weren't. Where are you at tonight with God? How's your oil? Is it low? Are you down a quart, half quart? Or, see my grandson back there. Some people, their rods are just really clanging and knocking. So I'll go down to O'Reilly's and get me some oil and fix that. Maybe. If I don't let it go too far. Is there anybody here tonight, you know, that would just say, I don't know if I'm saved or not? Hey, there's sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. I'll tell you the truth. I just don't feel saved today. And I say, God, me and Joel Osteen, we pray it all the time. Lord, fix me up. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, my oil's a little low? I just need a taste from the Father. I need a little water, my coolant level. I've been running a little hot. Mildred's giving me that eye. That tells me there's somebody here that needs something. Oh my gosh. Is anybody going to stand up and say, I just need a touch from the Father? Is anybody willing to come down here to the front and say, I want the Lord to minister to me tonight, just to me? I can't come for my wife. I can't come for my grandson. I can't come for my son that's sitting over here. But I can come because, Father, I want you to touch me tonight. I want a touch of the Holy Ghost. I want a touch of that oil of joy. Where's my brother at? Brother Angelo, come up here with me, brother. We're going to pray for some people. Where's my little sister at? We're going to pray for some people. I'm going to pray for you first. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I feel the tingling all over me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift my pastor up to you, Father, and I ask that you touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet right now. Ooh, gentle la basi, kata la bakota. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I ask, Father, you anoint these hands as they go and pray for people, that the power of the Holy Spirit would just shoot out of them. Be like electricity touching people, Father. I ask that you do that, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in Pastor Kelly's life. Oh, salabakadalasita. Hey, if you can pray in the Spirit, just start praying. Just start praying. You know, let the Holy Ghost come. See, we got to minister to each other. We got to let the Holy Spirit flow through us. See, if we let it flow through us, sister, guess what? Then we can touch somebody else. In the name of Jesus, touch my sister right now. I pray for my brother Paul, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Touch my sister, Father. Let her be filled with your Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch her, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Brother, I pray for my brother right here, right now, Father. I ask that you touch his heart, his mind, everything about him, Father. I ask that you fill him with your Holy Spirit like he's never been filled before. I ask, Father, he to have a relationship with you like he's never had before. Father, healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father, and everything in between in Jesus' name. Father, touch my brother. Touch him right now. Let your love and your power flow through him, Father. Let him be able to minister to people. Father, I pray for my brother Ernie. Touch him, Lord. Oh. Oh, I pray for my sister, Father. Touch her, Father. You feel that, don't you, Ernie? You feel it? You stay up on your feet, brother. Tommy, get behind Ernie. He's about to fall down on me. See, sometimes when the Holy Spirit touches you and really gets a hold of you, sometimes the lights go out. And that's what Ernie's battling right now. Because he don't need to battle, he just needs to let it happen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my sister. I pray for her son Ian, Father. I ask, Lord, that you just touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father. Let her be able to minister to other people in Jesus' name. I pray for Frank, Father. Touch Frank in his body and everything in his life, Father. I ask that you just touch Frank in Jesus' name. Father, I speak peace to the Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Did you pray for everybody down this way?
I anointed all of them.
All of them's been anointed? We just need to keep praying then. This is my friend. Father, I pray for my friend. I ask, Father, you bless him, anoint him. Let the power of the Holy Spirit move through him all the days of his life, Father. Father, I pray that he grow up a strong man in the things of God and he becomes a strong preacher, a strong minister of the Word of God, not only in word but in song, Father. And I just receive this right now for him in Jesus' name. Pray for my brother here, Father. Take him and use him. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless his little wife, too, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I pray for my sister-in-law, Father, that you just touch her life. Anoint her, Father, to speak your word. And be used by you. Father, I pray for Patty.